On their often underrated 1981 album October, the Irish rock band U2 have a song called I Threw a Brick Through a Window. In this song, frontman Bono sings, "No one, no one is blinder than he who will not see. No one, no one is blinder than me." The point that Bono, who is a Christian, by the way, and was baptized in the Church of Ireland, which means he's an Anglican, so he gets extra kudos for that, though he doesn't need it. The point that Bono is making is that there is no one blinder than the one who willfully resists the truth. And it turns out in his confession here that he himself is just such a man in his sinfulness. He is the blind man. Truthfully, the same thing could be said of all of us. All of us are spiritually blind men and women, because the foundational problem of human nature, the foundational problem that we all face, is that we don't naturally want to own up to the truth. We don't naturally want to own up to the truth about ourselves, and certainly the truth about ourselves in relation to a holy God. We don't want to admit that we are so twisted up and tangled up in original sin, that is, we are so twisted up and tangled up in our original self-centeredness and selfishness, it's to the point that we want nothing more than to be our own gods. We want nothing more than to be our own lords and our own masters, not only controlling our own lives, but those of us who are much bolder want to control the lives of others as well. We don't want to admit that because of our original selfishness and self-centeredness, we war with other people, we quarrel with other people, we find it hard to be around other people, we seek to tear down people with whom we disagree. All of this comes from the human heart. And in our blindness, all of this is evidenced by the fact that we tend to point our fingers at the very people who have been victimized by us, and we say, they're the problem. Not me, but they're the problem. We use them to try to justify ourselves, to make ourselves look good and righteous and holy. We say things like, they're the bad guys, whoever they might be, and we're the good guys. To put it very simply, our blindness is evidenced in the fact that we don't want to admit that we, human beings, sinful human beings, are the problem. This is what we see playing out in our gospel lesson today. In this narrative from John's Gospel, we have three principal actors. We have a man who is congenitally blind, that is, he is blind from birth. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, who heals the man on a Sabbath day. And we have the Jewish religious leaders, who are spiritually blind and believe that they're in the right and Jesus is in the wrong. They're the righteous ones and Jesus is a sinner. So as our gospel lesson opens today, John tells us that Jesus is walking along and he encounters this man who is congenitally blind. And this opens up a question from his disciples about the origination of the man's blindness. Is it the parents' fault that this man is blind? Is he blind because of his parents? Or is it his fault that he is blind? Now, this is not actually an unusual question. This was a question that was being grappled with by a number of the rabbis in Jesus' day. And it's also a question that keeps coming back up all the time. The basic underlying assumption here is this, that any sort of suffering in life must be due to someone's sinful actions. That's the underlying thinking taking shape here, that any problem that a person might have, especially if it involves some sort of a malady of some kind, anything like that must have some causation to it, and the causation to it must be somebody's sin. This led a number of the rabbis to suggest that that if a person was born with some sort of congenital malady or problem, one of two things must have happened. Either they themselves sinned in the womb, or their parents sinned when they became pregnant and when the child was being brought to life in the 9 months. It must have been one of those two things, either the child sinned or the parent sinned. Now, you talk about being pastorally cruel. Basically, you're saying that if a person is born with a malady of some kind, it's either their fault or it's the parent's fault, right? But notice that Jesus doesn't go there. He's clear that it's neither the man's fault nor the parent's fault. Instead, he turns it to the opportunity that lies before him. He says, neither this man sinned nor his parents. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Now, I've got to admit, that's probably a translation that leaves a little bit to be desired. It makes it sound like God made the man blind. God caused the man to be blind so that he would later have an opportunity to do the healing. But that, too, would not be accurate to what the text is trying to say. A better way to render the sentence is this. Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but so that the works of God may be revealed in him, it is necessary for us to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one is able to work. That, translated that way, it says nothing about the origination of the man's blindness, and that's how it should be. Because that's not what Jesus is commenting on here at all. He's simply saying we, that is, he and his disciples, have an opportunity here, as because of this man's blindness, because of the situation they're in, we have an opportunity to work the works of God. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. He's going to bring sight to this blind man. This man is in the dark, both literally and spiritually, and Jesus is the light of the world, and he has come to open this man's eyes, both literally and spiritually. So how does he do this? Well, he spits, he makes mud, and then he takes this mud concoction and he wipes it on the man's eyes, and he tells the man to go to the pool that is called Sent. That is Siloam. Go to the pool that is called Sent. The problem? The current interpretation of Jewish law in Jesus' day said that to make mud was comparable to kneading dough. And kneading dough was not permitted on the Sabbath day, and that means that making mud was not permitted on the Sabbath day. If you made mud, you were violating the Sabbath. On top of that, the interpretation of the law in that day said that you were allowed to put salve on somebody's eyes or other body part if it was an ongoing problem that required salve every day of the week. But if you just applied salve on one occasion, and that happened to be on the Sabbath day, then that constituted a work, and you were thus in violation of the Sabbath. Now, of course, Jesus is not violating the law. Let's hear that clearly. Jesus is not violating the law. Jesus is violating their interpretation of the law. And that is a very different thing, right? Jesus is the author of the law, being God incarnate, and he's not going to violate his own law, but he will violate distortions and misinterpretations of that law, and that's what he's doing here. This man Jesus, who has been sent by God, and that's the play on words with being sent to the pool called Sent, Jesus is the man sent by God, who then sends this man to be free of his blindness. He has been sent to set the man free of his blindness by sending him, after the anointing, to the pool to be washed. And all that the religious leaders can be concerned about in this moment is law-keeping. And here starts the whole conflict that follows. The Jewish religious leaders are bound and determined to prove that they are good and righteous people by their law-keeping, by their rule-keeping. They are convinced that they are the ones who are in the right with God. They are righteous, and Jesus is not. Jesus is a sinner to them because Jesus is not following the rules. They say that they are Moses' disciples. They're not going to be Jesus' disciples. They are Moses' disciples. And then they try to discredit Jesus by saying that they have no idea where Jesus comes from. Now, in the culture of that day, the way that you would discredit somebody is by saying that their place of origin was unknown. If nobody knew where you came from, that meant you were untrustworthy. And that's precisely what they're trying to say about Jesus. We don't know where this guy came from. That means we can't trust him. We can't trust him. So they're saying he's a sinner, he's a false prophet, he's an outlaw. The irony in all of this is that it's God himself who is standing right in front of them, doing their works, and they're refusing to see it. To quote Bono once again, how can you stand next to the truth and not see it? But they do, because this is what we sinful human beings are bound and determined to do. The truth is there, and we say, I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to hear it. Right? I'm not going to pay attention to it. But notice what happens with the formerly blind man. He begins to be moved by the Holy Spirit more and more to see Jesus for who Jesus really is. First, he calls Jesus the man called Jesus. That's all he is. In verse 11, he says, the man called Jesus. Then in verse 17, he says, he's a prophet. And then by the end of the story, he sees that he is the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Lord himself. And he says, I believe, and he worshiped him. The point, only God can open our eyes to see the truth about ourselves in him. Only God can bring us from unbelief to faith. Only God can heal our spiritual blindness. We can't do it. No amount of rule-keeping is going to make that happen. No amount of trying to be good religious people is going to make that happen. Only God can do it. Outside of the work of God, we remain convinced that we are not blind and that everything is all right with us. We remain convinced most of the time that we're not the problem. Other people are the problem. And we say with the Pharisees, surely we are not blind, are we? But the truth is that we are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, as Jesus says to the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation. But the good news is that Christ Jesus has come to heal us of our blindness. Christ Jesus has come to rescue us from our blindness. He is not content to leave us in our blindness. He is the light of the world who has come into this world to bring us out of darkness into light, to bring us out of the darkness of sin and death into the light of life. He has come to open our eyes to the truth, not only about ourselves, but about who he is for us as well. As the Holy Spirit by St. Paul tells us in our epistle today from Ephesians, we are not merely in darkness, but we are darkness. Paul says this, for once you were darkness. Paul doesn't say, for once you were in darkness. He says, you were darkness. But then he adds the promise, but now in the Lord, you are light. Not you are in the light, you are light. You are light because Jesus has come, and he has touched your eyes, and he has touched your hearts with the salve of his forgiving love. In that love, he has taken your sin away from you, removed the darkness from you, and given you the healing that you needed in his promise of the forgiveness of sins. What this means is that you can now see him for who he really is. Jesus is not a stern and demanding God saying, you've got to prove yourself worthy before I will give you my grace and my mercy. He is not saying you've got to earn it from me. You've got to be good little boys and girls and do your best to make sure that you have tried hard to keep the law, and then I will give it to you. He doesn't give the law so that we can prove how righteous we are before him and before everybody else. No, he gives the law so that we can see who we truly are. That is, sinners in need of saving. John Calvin said that the law is simply a mirror held up to our face, and nothing could be truer said. But in giving that law, he also turns around and he shows us that he is a gracious God who is full of mercy and loving kindness. He is the heavenly Son of Man, the Messiah, who we are told that while we were yet sinners, not when we cleaned up, not when we got our act together, but while we were yet sinners, he came and he gave himself for us to rescue us and to give us salvation and new life as a free gift. That's who Jesus is. That's who the one who has opened our eyes, healed our blindness, given us sight is. He is the Son of Man. He is the God who loves you He is the God who forgives you. He is the God who heals you. And he is the God who saves you. And so let's join with the formerly blind man and say, I believe, and worship him. Amen.